Music, 2SER 107.3.
Vultures, vultures, vultures. Good morning. This is 2SER 107.3 and you are tuned into the Vulture's Nest. A half hour enthusiastic evaluation of some of the week's news and culture. I'm your host, Sean Morahan, and on this wintry Sydney morning, I am joined in the warm, cosy nest by CJ Delling.
I'm enthused.
Good morning, CJ, good morning. To our warm little nest. And Peter Gleeson.
Good morning, everyone.
G'day, Peter. Welcome. It's been an interesting week in the news. Margaret Court has made it clear she's got nothing against homosexuals other than their human rights. Maybe she's, rather than digging a hole for herself, she's digging the foundations for the new Margaret Court arena. CJ, what's caught your interest in news and culture this week?
I am ashamed to admit this, but I got hours and hours of joy out of Covfefe. Now, if people aren't aware of Covfefe, the leader of the free world, Donald Trump, has...
I thought he meant Angela Merkel for a minute.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. It is a German word. It means endurance. No, so the former leader of the free world, Donald Trump, has tweeted. He likes Twitter. He uses it often and... he loves it, and he tweeted something just after midnight Washington D.C. time, and it was only a half tweet, and it said, "Despite the constant negative press, Covfefe." That was all. That was all. Now, of course, the internet can't let that slide. You know, the internet got together, and like I said, I enjoyed it way too much. I had hours and hours of fun. I think my personal favorite was the Urban Dictionary entry that actually said Covfefe means, it's a noun, when you want to say coverage, but your hands are too small to hit all the letters on your keyboard. And it just went on and on. Now, is it a bad thing that we, you know, seek moments like that, that comic relief like that? Is it a bad thing that we got so much joy out of it?
Well, there's so much depression about everything else that Trump does. You've got to get some joy somewhere. Everything else is so negative.
I agree.
Like pulling out of the Paris thing and...
Correct, yeah.
You know, all the other stuff he's doing that's horrendous. You've got to get some enjoyment out of this train wreck of a presidency. Mm.
Laughter is renowned as being the best medicine, and I think in a lot of cases it is a pain reliever.
Yeah.
So... for me, yeah, I have laughed a lot at the Covfefe coverage this week and a whole lot of things that I know other comedians have done to play with it. And it has. It's been sort of, you know, a moment of reprieve from the pain of the presidency. So, yeah, I think there is some merit in it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, if it was done deliberately, then congratulations, Donald Trump. I think that was brilliant.
It's just bringing America together, you know, and the whole world together. Bringing the whole world together. It's like, you know, the other thing I saw on the internet was Covfefe, when you're trying to say confetti, but you don't have all your teeth. Covfefe. Now, with the Paris Accord that Donald Trump pulled out of course, it came into effect last November 6th, 2016, and he wants to get out of it. But like any contract with your preferred fitness studio of your choice, you can't just get out of that easily. So there is actually a 3-year waiting period. So by the time the US could actually be, you know, pulling out of the Paris Accord, would be, I think, the day after the next presidential election. So
really?
That's going to be interesting.
Okay, so that was an angle to that story I didn't know about. Mm. So, and I think as well...
That's big Covfefe, I say, yeah.
That ties in a little bit with, you know, the previous stories about building a wall. Because I think it's going to, you know, it's going to take 4 years to plan to build the wall anyway. You know, no contractors are available to build the wall for 4 years. So it could be a change of president before that happens.
So not much might actually happen.
Nothing.
Yeah, no, nothing. Nothing matters, nothing happens. Covfefe.
Yeah. So were there any other aspects of the Paris
Accord? Oh, just, with the Paris Accord, so the US actually, it's not even that if they hadn't lowered their emissions by the certain date, nothing would have happened. There would have been no punishment. So he doesn't even have to pull out of the Paris Accord. It's more of a voluntary thing anyways. He could have just said instead of between 26 and 28% that we're going to lower the emissions, we're just going to lower it by 2.8%. like that would have been an avenue as well. But because he believes climate change is a hoax, you can't. You can't stick with the Paris Accord, and yeah, it would be great if like climate change was a hoax, or if climate change believed that Donald Trump was a hoax. Maybe he is. Maybe he's just actually.
Did you?
America's just punking the whole world.
Yeah,
we've been punked. The thing is, he said like
it's Ashton Kutcher actually.
It's Ashton Kutcher going to punch it. Hey, we got you. Thing is, like he said, he's pulling out of the Paris climate thing because he was. Elected to represent the people of Pittsburgh, not Paris. Like he's completely unaware that it's a world thing. It's just called the Paris Accord because that's where it was signed.
Yeah,
it's not just to benefit Paris; it's for everyone.
Also, he doesn't like Paris Hilton. Yeah. You know,
and then also like the mayor of Pittsburgh came out and went, "Well, actually, we didn't vote for you, and we're up for it." So they're like,
"Yeah." So they're still going to stick with the Paris.
I think you mentioned like two other cities as well, Detroit and somewhere else.
Yeah. And New York, yeah. Washington, and California already came out with a joint statement saying we're still going to follow the rules and the things we set out to do as a country, just on a state level now.
Which is probably more important anyway.
So. Mm.
Going back to Covefe for a minute.
Yes, please.
You mentioned that the tweet was just after midnight. Was there any significance in that? Had he turned into a pumpkin? Or
yeah. Oh, people were thinking like, oh, you know, welcome... You knew Mr. President Mike Pence because maybe he had died. Maybe it was a heart attack, mid-tweet. Or maybe Melania Trump finally slapped the phone out of his hands. There was all this speculation going on. And it actually was just under 6 hours before the tweet was taken down, which legally as a president he can't do. He can't delete anything, any communications actually. But
That's right, yeah.
Maybe there's a bit of a grey line with Twitter. And then the next tweet came actually out saying, figure out what Covefe means, enjoy. So that sort of ruined it for everyone. It ruined it for me.
So he was trying to own it instead of just owning it.
Yeah, I think he wanted to be cleverer than everyone else.
Okay.
And then Sean Spicer came out. I think, Peter, you were talking about that before we went online, on air. Online. Look at me. I'm trapped in the online world.
We, all three of us, work in comedy from time to time. And I know even speaking to other comedians, one of the reasons I recommend Twitter to them, even though some say it's, you know, it's plateaued, it's had its day, it's done as much as it's going to do, is it forces you to be brief and succinct. It limits you to the number of words and characters that you can use. So whatever message you're trying to share or convey, and particularly if you're in comedy, if you're trying to write a joke, it's a very good skill to have because it helps you keep your material tight. So it's good practice for writing within another type of constraint. And maybe that's why Trump's on Twitter, because he's providing enormous comedy for us.
If he could get most of his tweets down to just the poo emoji, I think, if you really to the minimal thing.
Now, he doesn't even need 140 characters, you know. But also, it was an unfinished tweet. What does that say about the president? Can't he? Can he not finish things? Like,
I think perhaps without diminishing the meaning, he's reduced the number of characters he's used.
Yeah, that's true. It's more efficient. I should love that. He said himself, you know, he knows all the words. He has all the best words. It's going to be beautiful words. Words are his friends.
Fantastic. Now, Pete, we were talking before, you don't really use Twitter, do you?
No.
You don't see any merit in it?
I just can't be bothered.
And that's fair enough.
I've got enough things to waste my time with. I don't need another one.
Yep, and yet you still receive news about this fairly quickly. I don't think you were far behind the Twitterverse.
Yeah, not far behind.
In getting the information about Covefe. Okay.
Covefe.
I'm still aware of it. I kind of don't care that much about it, but yeah, I'm still aware of it. I think it's a distraction from all the other nonsense, because he puts out so much. Every day there's one or two new dumb things Trump's done. We're just so bombarded with it. You kind of forget the horrible thing he did last week.
Mm.
Well, before we went to air, we were discussing that just a few minutes ago. You were saying that, you know, you wouldn't be surprised if it was deliberate to distract from...
Yeah, sort of like a magician's like, look over here while I pull the thing out of my bum over here. It's like...
Yeah. It's the meanest
hat.
Side of
I think
hand,
the word's
eh?
Hat.
Who knows how magic works? I don't know. Yeah, but it's right. Yeah,
well, stuff Trump's pulling out.
Apologies to any magicians whose secrets we've just given away. Sorry, Pete, you were saying?
Yes, this is, like I said, a distraction. Because like, at the same time, there was a story about his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, getting in trouble with the whole Russia scandal. Another story about him using funds that was meant to be for low-cost housing to put up commercial skyscrapers or something. I don't know the full story because I was distracted by Covfefe, so I worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a good point. I'm glad. See, I wasn't even fully aware of those other stories. So
that's the point.
Yeah. I maybe just got sucked into the whole Twitter thing.
Cunning plan.
And you'd managed to bypass that and still get a bit of the other news that's maybe behind the distractions.
I'm glad somebody's paying attention.
Okay. So, CJ, getting back to the Paris Climate Accord.
Yes.
Is that real or is that something that Trump has deliberately sacrificed again to try and take the spotlight off some other things that he's...
I think it's a... I'm not fully equipped to answer that, I think. I think it's, you know, it's a... You got to stay in the conversation. You got to have press conferences every now and then to keep that momentum going so that you forget about the things that, you know, Peter, you just mentioned where he's misusing funds or other things where he's opening up federal land for drilling and stealing water. So, I mean, there's all these things that if you put on a show, people forget about the other things.
Yeah.
But it's America first. You know, he says, because he wrote The Art of the Deal, allegedly, that
it was ghostwritten.
That he is willing to renegotiate the deal, the Paris Accord. But, you know, European leaders have already come out saying, excuse me, there's no round of negotiations again. So, see ya.
Yeah. It was a done deal.
It's a done deal.
Yeah, even if you bring the Art of the Deal back to
there is no plan B. And as Emmanuel Macron, the president of France, said, you know, make the planet great again. Don't make America great again.
Oh, wow, that's a nice line.
And he said it in English, even more impressive.
Ooh. Yeah. Didn't need to ignore anybody else's interpretations to be able to do that.
That's right.
I heard, too, that Trump was saying that as a result of agreeing to the Paris Climate Accord, that America had the rest of the world laughing at them.
I think that's a personal thing for him.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't like people laughing about him.
Yeah, he said, as president,
I
can put...
miserable.
Oh, it's horrible.
I can put no other consideration before the well-being of American citizens. So is that deliberately ignoring the well-being that may be attached to climate change?
He doesn't believe in climate change.
That's a good point. Okay, I'd missed that bit. Yep.
Even though the majority of American citizens do believe in climate change and do want the Paris Accord thing to happen. But, you know, they're not the ones that give him money, so...
Yeah. Pete, you mentioned you weren't on Twitter, but it's interesting that the mayor of Pittsburgh, when he was responding to Trump, responded via Twitter. I've just got a copy of that here. He said, as the mayor of Pittsburgh, I can assure you that we will follow the guidelines of the Paris Agreement for our people, our economy and the future.
Mm. And Pittsburgh is had quite a turnaround. They're quite successful now in robotics, IT and medical science. So they turned their industry around. Goodbye steel.
Yeah.
And coal.
There's been some interesting people jump to criticise Trump on this decision as well. So Hillary Clinton was one of them.
Oh.
Guess which medium she's used to communicate her dissent.
Smoke signals.
No, that's against the climate change deal.
She said, a historic mistake. The world is moving forward together on climate change. Paris withdrawal leaves American workers and families behind.
Even Elon Musk, who was one of the advisors to Donald Trump, has now pulled out from that advisory role, saying, no, bad idea, bad for America, bad for the world.
That's right.
Muchacho.
And so did the CEO of Disney.
Disney.
He was on the same council advising the president, and he's publicly announced his withdrawal from that council as well as a result of this decision.
I can't get my head around how Disney is involved or why, but I mean, good storytelling. I have no idea.
Yeah, Walt Disney CEO Robert Iger, I think it is.
Oh.
And Elon Musk both announced their resignation from the president's council as a result of the withdrawal from the Paris Accord.
I think they realised that he wasn't going to be listening to anything they said anyway.
Yeah. They needed an out. That's it.
Well, hey, because when Elon Musk was first put on that council or put his hand up, whatever, people came, oh, what are you doing? Because he's clearly not a Trump kind of guy. But he was like, well, I want to be like a voice of reason. But I think he's decided he's not listening, so...
It's too hard, man. It's too hard.
Yeah. We've been discussing COVEFE and the Paris Climate Accord, among other things, this morning. We're going to take a track now. We'll be back with another little interesting story about what's going on in the world after our brief break. This is Literature with New Jacket.
Sydney Film Festival is proud to continue their partnership with Screen Australia's Indigenous Department as they bring a First Nations program back to the silver screen for 2017. Don't miss our opening night film, We Don't Need a Map, by Warwick Thornton, director of Khan winning Samson and Delilah. The provocative documentary explores Australia's relationship with the Southern Cross from Indigenous spirituality to modernity. And competing in the Documentary Australia Foundation Awards are The Powerful Connection to Country, about the people of the Pilbara, and the raw and funny tale of teaching remote Indigenous literacy in my own words. See the full program of First Nations
Sydney Film Festival is now on sale. There's over 350 screenings of 288 films from 62 countries over 12 days in 10 venues. From the magnificent State Theatre in the city to the Ritz Cinema in Randwick, there's bound to be a film and venue just right for you. It all happens from June 7 to 18, and you can buy your flexi passes or single tickets right now at sff.org.au. Sydney Film Festival, proudly sponsoring 2SER 107.3.
You are on 2SER 107.3 in the middle of the Vulture's Nest, our weekly review of news and culture from around the world. But just before the break, we were talking about some of the mischief that Donald Trump's been up to lately. from his home country, there's another little piece of news this week. Maybe even just going back in time, I remember when I was a kid, one of my favourite TV shows was The $6 Million Man. And shortly after that, there was a version of The Bionic Woman. And then another show that came on TV was Wonder Woman, with Linda Carter playing Wonder Woman.
Not that old. I
was going to say, CJ, Peter, are either of you old enough to remember that?
I'm old enough to be aware of the existence, but never saw him.
Oh, okay. Well, it's good that it's being updated for the kids. So there's a new movie, Wonder Woman. In fact, just got released yesterday, I believe. Mm. The global release was yesterday.
I'm now too old for that. So, I will miss it.
You missed out both ways.
Yes.
Okay.
Never too old for action movies, explosions and things.
Exactly.
And if you haven't heard, the reason Wonder Woman has been back in the news this week, apart from the fact that the movie has been released, is that an independent cinema in Austin, Texas, the cinema is called Alamo Drafthouse Cinema, it announced it would host a screening of the new movie exclusively for women or people who identify as being a woman. In the audience. Well, so firstly, could I ask, what do you think of that? Good idea, bad idea?
One screening?
Wait, one screening.
No problem.
I honestly have no opinion either way. I don't care. If that's what a business wants to do, go for it.
Right.
I would go to that. There's something quite fun about when you just have all women in a cinema. It's a fun atmosphere.
Yeah, girls' night out.
Well, yeah.
I've heard they can be fun. I've never been on one.
Yeah.
Yeah. This, of course, was a rallying cry to people who identify as misogynist. So there's been a whole ridiculous outcry, you know, in the usual social media avenues.
Misogynist? No. Isn't it? What's the word for when it's against men? Isn't there a word for it?
Oh, no, these are misogynist.
Oh, sorry, they are. Sorry,
yeah.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, it's a rallying
yes.
cry for misogynists.
Ah, yes, sorry.
The misogynists have come out and complained about it.
Yes.
So probably the one that's been the best example of that was, and I guess the intelligence level that's involved in criticising this, was a retired lawyer. His name's Richard Amaduri, and he wrote an email to the mayor of Austin, who, from what I understand, before and after, had nothing to do with the decision of the cinema to run Wonder Woman for a screening.
It's not a council-owned cinema. It's
that would also be bad
business.
If that was like within his, on his task list, you know,
yeah.
for the mayor.
So Richard Amaduri, maybe part of his plan, he is now trending on Twitter, but his email said, "I hope every man will boycott Austin and do what he can to diminish Austin and to cause damage to the city's image. The theatre that pandered to the sexism typical of women will, I hope, regret its decision. The notion of a woman hero is a fine example of women's eagerness to accept the appearance of achievement without actual achievement." Blah, blah, blah. And so it goes on for, you know, probably another 10 or 15 lines. Now, the mayor publicly responded. And it's interesting because, you know, he probably had considered his options about how he could respond to this. He could have just responded. Well, firstly, he could have ignored it. You know, that's when you get lunatics sending things like this. Often that is one of the best responses, especially if you're, you know, social media savvy. It could be just ignore it. It will go away. But he highlighted it and actually took the opportunity to turn it around. And he said, "Dear Mr. Amaduri, I am writing to alert you that your email account has been hacked."
Yeah.
"By an unfortunate and unusually hostile individual.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Please remedy your account security right away, lest this person's uninformed and sexist rantings give you a bad name. After all, we men have to look out for each other. Can you imagine if someone thought that you didn't know that women could serve in our combat units now without exclusion?" Which was answering one of the things that Amaduri had said in his email. The mayor goes on to say, "What if someone thought you didn't know that women invented medical syringes, life rafts, fire escapes, central and solar heating, a wartime communication system for radio-controlling torpedoes, that laid the technological foundations from everything from Wi-Fi to GPS and beer? And I hesitate to imagine how embarrassed you'd be if someone thought you were upset that a private business was realising a business opportunity by reserving one screening this weekend for women to see a superhero movie."
Great. I love his response. That's fantastic.
He goes on to, speak admirably about Amajiri's character and saying, you know, I'm disappointed that your character's been besmirched by this by this individual who's hacked your account, and I hope you manage to resecure your email shortly. So, beautiful response. CJ, have you ever been not invited or excluded from a social event?
Probably, but maybe for other reasons.
Have you written an email to the mayor about it?
No. I wish this this party should be shut down because I didn't invite me with my cake. just because I make bad cake, maybe. I've also never attended an all-female screening. It was more like that the movie I saw only attracted a female crowd, and there were like two men in the audience. Which is fine.
Who may
fine.
Have been identifying as women.
Yeah, look, it's totally fine. But I do get that, you know, it can be nice if you have an all-female screening. I've been to things where it was all-female and it was a sense of relaxation around the table because nobody was trying to out-funny the other person. It was with other comedians, so we were all quite exhausted.
Peter, you and I should be very careful in our response to this.
No, exactly.
Oops, I hope that wasn't funny.
I think I have been excluded from things, but... I'm not aware of it. Yeah.
Pete, what about you?
Excluded from things?
Yeah.
All of high school.
Oh, okay. Did you write to the mayor about it?
No. I just stayed
it's never
in my
too
room.
Late. It's never too late, Peter. You can still write about it.
Still write about it, yeah. It's funny, like, some of these guys that were supporting this lawyer dude was calling for like, all male screenings to happen. It's like, apart from this all-female screening, it's a superhero movie. Every other screening is going to be pretty much all male.
Yep.
It's like, what are they complaining about? It's like, they're so busy complaining online about sexism against straight white men that the only time they've got to see it is this one particular screening.
Yeah.
So, no, because my calendar's so full of complaining about things, like, that's the only time I could see it. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Get over it, dude.
Yeah, I've got to say, as a straight white male, I think they're letting the team down.
They're letting the team down.
They are letting the team
they're
down.
They're making us look silly.
That's right. They're knocking it. I'm declaring exclusion zone here. Mm. I'm not inviting these misogynists on our show.
Maybe there should be a screening only for misogynists. You know, let's all have them together as well. And
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why it outrages people so much when actually nothing is taken away from that Mr. Lawyer guy. I have no idea why there is such a huge response to things like this.
Yeah. I think the perfect epilogue to that story is that as a result of all the free publicity they got, the Alamo Theatre have announced more women-only screenings.
Yes. Let's all go there. Yay!
Yep, I'll be happy to identify as a woman just to go and celebrate the sense of humour that they've taken that action with.
That sort of backfired for him, yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You think it was a cunning plan by the Alamo Theatre just to drum up some more business? Yeah. It was just a whole... Yeah. It was like a Trump Covfefe thing.
Yeah,
I've got an idea.
That's right.
Let's drum up some fake controversy.
Oh, let's get trending on Twitter.
Yeah. So today on the Vulture's Nest, we've been talking about Covfefe, we've been talking about Paris Climate Accord, and we've been talking about Wonder Woman. And for all three of those stories, we've looked at some ways that perhaps are there stories behind the stories, and are people perhaps just trying to manipulate social media to get publicity? Who knows? But whatever you think, make sure you mention the Vulture's Nest on Twitter and Facebook. And check us out on Twitter and Facebook and also on the 2SER website. A copy of this program will be published there probably later today. Thank you very much to my guests for joining me in the Nest today. Peter Gleeson, thank you.
Thank you.
CJ Dilling, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Stay tuned to the Vulture's Nest. Coming up, we've got Sophie Lye with So Hot Right Now. And we're going to go out with a track. This is Fink with Pilgrim.
cold.